三。
吃的。
You're tuning in to Don't Sleep New York, a podcast for the New Yorker who wants to stay up on policy and politics in the city that never sleeps. My name is Arpan, and I'm joined by Matt and Rana Joy. We're three New Yorkers who are trying to become more informed about the inner workings of our city, and we want to take you along for the ride. Today, we're going to talk about homelessness in New York City and state, and chat through some of the statistics to better understand the scope of the issue, while also breaking down different ways the city and state have come together to try and solve it. It's a complex issue, and it's tied to other complex issues like housing, education, and employment. So our goal is to use this episode as a primer to understand the issue at large and how it interacts with other aspects of the city. With that in mind, listening to Don't Sleep New York's two prior episodes about affordable housing, that's Season 1, Episode 2, and Season 2, Episode 5, will be helpful primers for this episode. So let's jump in and start high level. How do we define homelessness in New York? What are some of the numbers?
I think the best way to jump in is if we just take a look at the scale of the problem in New York State and New York City. So New York State has about 92,000 homeless people, which is about 16% of the country's homeless. The only state in front of New York with a worse homelessness problem is California. And of that 92K, the majority, 80K, is in New York City.
Okay, and of that homeless population, you know, we go on the subways, we obviously see that there's a homeless problem there. Is that what all of the homeless population looks like?
No, and that's one of, I think, the common misconceptions for everyday New Yorkers walking around is that, you know, homelessness is the same as unsheltered. So only about 5% of the homeless population in New York City qualifies or gets counted as unsheltered, meaning they're living on the streets or in the subway. Those are the homeless that you'll probably run into when you're on the subway or on your commute to work. But what you don't realize is that the significant majority of people who are homeless are folks who you might not even really realize are homeless.
And I thought it was interesting from there, the percentage of homeless people in shelters who are actually fully gainfully employed is somewhere like 40-45%, which is also something that might surprise a lot of you.
Yeah, that was surprising to read as well. And I think kind of further breaking it down, of if we're trying to define like the face of the homeless, it's not even just individuals. There's a significant part of that 92K, call it about 40 to 50K, which are families and not actual individuals who are homeless. And that kind of speaks to our wider definition of homeless. And that encompasses the unsheltered, as we refer to, individuals and families who are in shelters, and then also individuals and families, including single kids who are doubled up. And what doubled up means is you're living at your cousin's house or a neighbor's house for an interim period of time.
And that opens up an interesting point about how we collect this data, right? I think everything that we hear in terms of the numbers around homelessness are ultimately just estimates based on what the city is able to collect from shelters and I think through the census possibly as well. So it's important to keep that in mind that while, you know, we have some of these statistics to understand the problem in terms of numbers, a lot of that is an estimate, right? And it's very possible that there's a lot of underreporting happening. Even just the unsheltered population in hard numbers, you know, estimates range from 2,400 to almost 5,000 folks.
I think the last statistic I wanted to bring up till we kind of transition into what is the main cause of homelessness is pointing out that like any other problem that we've highlighted in many of our podcasts, the specific category of people that are most impacted by this are Black and brown people. 58% of New York City homeless shelter residents are Black and 31% are Latino. So again, this is a problem that's specifically targeting these communities.
Yeah, and so let's take it a step further and talk about some of the different levers that get pulled to, well, before we can say how we address the problem, it's really getting an understanding of where is the problem coming from in the first place, right? Why is homelessness so pervasive in New York City? And a lot of this comes down to housing and the access to housing.
Yeah. And so I don't know if we need to go into a ton of detail on affordable housing again. Like Arpan said initially, you can refer back to some of our past episodes there. But at a high level, the problem is constantly that the definition of affordable housing allows for a lot of new housing to be created with programs that is actually not affordable to those who are in the most need, which of course would be homeless people.
I think one of the stats that's very telling here is there are studies that have shown that in New York State, to afford a two-bedroom apartment at affordable housing rates, i.e. 30% of your income, while working a 40-hour week would equate to that individual having to be paid $34 an hour, or in New York City, more specifically, $39 an hour.
And that gets to why the homeless population in shelters, so many of those people do have jobs, which goes against that common stereotype of, oh, you know, these people are just looking for handouts and so on. Like, these people are working hard in many cases. It's just unfortunately a system that's unaffordable.
Yeah, and unfortunately the resolution is not just raising the minimum wage, which is now $15 in New York. We have to also address the other levers, which is, as we mentioned, affordable housing and subsidies and incentives that allow not only for that right housing to be created, but also the first step in maybe there are some subsidies for the renter themselves in a first few years to get them under their feet.
And one of the other, I think, levers that always comes up, I mean, if you do word association with the word shelter, the first word you'll probably think of is homeless shelter. So shelters are always brought up as part of the solution towards solving the homeless crisis. But I think a lot of people, myself included, are often wonder, do shelters actually work? Are homeless people interested in using shelters? And is it a long-term solution, or is it really just a Band-Aid?
So I think most of what I've seen seems to suggest that in a lot of respects, it is a Band-Aid, because you do need to get these people ultimately permanent housing. A shelter is meant to be temporary. It's better than being on the streets. It provides some assistance. But even in New York City, one of the problems with the shelters as they're performing that function is they're incredibly dangerous. And there's a lot of first-person accounts of people doing drugs out in the open within shelters, of there being weapons there. So you can imagine, particularly for women and children who are in those shelters, it's not really performing its function as what a shelter is supposed to be. It's still a place of danger and insecurity.
And on top of that, it's not cheap. So the city spends about $3 billion a year in supporting shelters.
And there's a lot of scandals, if you go and read some of, a lot of those shelters are privately operated. They win contracts from the government to run the shelters. And so they're often run incredibly inefficiently. And Ranjit, you might have some of the numbers of like the average cost per bed, for example, in a shelter.
Yeah, based on a report that was done in 2018 under de Blasio, to house one person in a shelter equated to about $117 a night. Now, if you extrapolate that across 365 days a year, that's about $42,000. That's well above minimum wage. That just highlights the problem of how,
just for housing.
Yes, just for housing. And that just highlights the problem of a minimum wage employee or a family of minimum wage employees cannot actually find a way to keep a roof reliably over their head, given our current state of housing.
And it really begs the question, if we're spending an average of $42,000 a year per shelter bed, why not attempt to spend that type of money on finding more permanent housing solutions? It feels like a massive inefficiency in that part of the system.
Yeah, and there's one more lever that I think gets brought up that sort of sits between this shelter and affordable housing as solutions, which is the concept of supportive housing, which you'll often hear about baked into any kind of state or city plans addressing homelessness. So supportive housing is exactly what it sounds like. It's providing housing at an affordable rate, but also providing services alongside that housing. So help with drug abuse, help with
childcare, help with mental health challenges. So it's really probably the most hands-on way that we can help the homeless, not just give them, you know, a roof, but also give them the support system that they might need.
And these programs have been very effective, it's shown, right?
Yeah, and I think that's a good transition for us to actually talk about what the government, specifically the governor of New York and the mayor have done to try to address homelessness. And we can unpack a little bit about Mayor Adams's crackdown on the subway and the meaning behind that, but we can also talk about the new state budget and what parts of that are actually going to be used to address homelessness. And so let's start with Mayor Adams, though, right? Because he's in the news all the time. There was a huge press moment for him with Kathy Hochul standing behind him where, you know, he's saying homeless people can't be sleeping on subways anymore. Not anymore. Not in my city. Really trying to pull out some sort of like Batman-esque, you know, protector of the city tone with it. But is that even working? And even stepping further back, is that even solving or addressing the actual problem at hand?
I mean, I think to one extent, it depends what problem he's trying to solve, because I think in terms of, if he's trying to solve the problem of just making sure we don't see the problem, like we as everyday New Yorkers who might use the subway, then I guess he's kind of trying to address that.
Which has some value.
Sure.
Which has some value as a subway rider.
Want to feel safe and comfortable on the subway. But in a lot of ways, it feels like attempting to sweep a problem under the rug, because fundamentally, these people aren't getting the help they need. One of the craziest statistics I saw about his initiative, where they're trying to funnel these people into shelters, basically, and something like only 11 out of 2,000 people who were approached even took that offer, which is, again, a commentary on the state of the shelter system, or perhaps on mental health, both of which are significant problems amongst the homeless.
Yeah, which goes back to the main aspect, which was a bit promising in Kathy Hochul's plan, which was to get 10,000 supportive housing units in across the next 5 years, which we took a decent step towards with the most recent New York State budget, where we had about $5.3 billion that was approved toward her larger $25 billion plan.
And that's the $25 billion, just to break down the numbers, is the overall five-year plan to address housing across New York State, which includes the city. $5.3 billion is what was passed in the initial budget that just passed a couple weeks ago as part of that larger $25 billion, which is part of a larger $220 billion state budget plan.
So ultimately, it's a lot of numbers, but can you tell me, is this more money? Is this less money? Does this seem good? Does this seem bad?
Well, I think if you go into some details, there are certain parts where certain programs within homelessness are being underfunded than what was expected. But it does match the $5 billion in general that year one of Kathy Hochul's plan needed, which overall will look to put 10,000 units on the ground. I think that brings up a larger point where there's constantly a separation of affordable housing and homelessness as issues, when truly they are the same, and homelessness is a large aspect of creating affordable housing rather than a separate topic that needs and warrants different solutions.
Right, because if you treat homelessness as its own topic, I think you get a lot of solutions around shelters. It's more just getting people off the streets, which is a temporary solution. Affordable housing is the long-term solution.
And one of the probably easiest ways to conceptualize how true that interconnection is there is to think through, I don't remember the exact numbers there, but basically the stat around any sort of unexpected expense for somebody who's maybe a minimum wage worker could be...
It's not even a minimum wage worker. It's like the average American, if they have an unexpected expense of something like well under $1,000, it could be something that triggers a series of events that leads to them being homeless or something.
Yeah, or like puts that. Them at risk of homelessness, right?
At risk, yeah.
And that's, I think that's why it's important to keep reiterating other stats that maybe don't get hurt, you know, spoken about all the time, that like 40% of homeless individuals are employed. I don't think that should anyone should take their takeaway from that should be that, you know, the problem is sort of solving itself because they have a job. I think it should be the other reaction, right? Which is that even with a job, you can be at risk of homelessness. And our definition, and this goes back to, I think, why I have an issue with not just what Mayor Adams is doing with the subway crackdown, but the intention behind it, where, you know, you're not really, you're not even helping the city understand what the true problem is, right? It's easy to kind of point and say, like, well, if you don't see it and I clean it up off the subways, then we're solving the problem. But that's not even talking about the other 95% of the homeless folks in New York City.
The main points to take away from our discussion of homelessness. One, the face of homelessness is not necessarily what you see on subways or on the streets. There is a significant portion of the homeless, which are families and individuals who are employed and are in shelters.
So, and a second point is that affordable housing isn't really affordable for minimum wage workers, which again just goes to show you that even with employment, you can be at risk for homelessness.
A third point is that the shelter system should really be seen as a temporary rather than permanent solution, and that in its existing form, it is dangerous, inefficient, and expensive.
And the fourth point is what we should look for this election cycle is for candidates not only to outline their affordable housing plan, but how that affordable housing will address the homeless and how they will create more supportive units to solve this crisis.
So that's our episode for today. As we said earlier, homelessness is a complex issue, and it's tied to a lot of other aspects of the city, including affordable housing. So think of this episode as a primer to understanding how these issues intertwine and what to keep in mind before you head to the voting booth. Keep up with Don't Sleep New York as we unpack more about the candidates for governor and the platforms they stand on to help you make the most informed decision in the primary election this June. To stay up to date with us, follow at Don't Sleep NY on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on your podcasting platform of choice. It really helps us help more citizens like you get informed. The music you heard in this episode was provided by Brooklyn-based artist and producer, Jackery. We'll see you all in a few weeks. Until then, don't sleep.